Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would please open your Bibles to John chapter 3, and I'll tell you why. I put out a request for questions, and one individual asked several questions. The first one I answered last time. It was a pretty easy question to answer, and that is, have you ever ridden a horse? So I answered that before, okay? But the second question this same person asked is, what is your favorite passage of Scripture? Well, that's hard, okay? Because all God's Word is inspired, and it is profitable for us. So how do you pick one? I have to mention some runners-up. Genesis is one of my favorite books of the Bible. Exodus is one of my favorite books of the Bible. If you think I'm just going to humorously list all of them, no, that's not the plan. But I love the book of Psalms. I love the book of Proverbs. I love 1 and 2 Samuel. I love Isaiah, and I love Jeremiah. And I hope I don't have to apologize when I get to heaven for the ones I didn't mention. But in the New Testament, I love all four Gospels. Each one has its own personality, its own distinctives. Each one is marvelous. I love the book of Romans. I love the book of Acts. I love the epistles of Paul and Peter and John. I love the book of Revelation. But if I had to pick a passage of Scripture, I would have to say John chapter 3. So, and not just because of John 3:16, as you'll see. But if you would, open your Bibles to John chapter 3, my favorite passage, and hopefully I'll be able to share with you why this is my favorite passage and what God has on my heart for today. Now, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who's come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him." In reply, Jesus declared, "I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he's born again." "How can a man be born when he's old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. "You are Israel's teacher," said Jesus. "Do you not understand these things? I tell you the truth. We speak of what we know, and we testify to what we've seen. But still, you people do not accept our testimony. I've spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. For whoever believes in him is not condemned. Whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men loved darkness instead of light, because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what he has done has been done through God. After this, John and his disciples went out into the Judean countryside, where he spent some time with them and baptized. Now, John was also baptizing at Aenon near Salim, because there was plenty of water, and people were constantly coming to be baptized. This was before John was put in prison. An argument developed between some of John's disciples and a certain Jew over the matter of ceremonial washing. They came to John and said to him, "Rabbi, the man who was with you on the other side of the Jordan, the one you testified about, well, he's baptizing and everyone's going to him." To this John replied, "A man can receive only what is given him from heaven. You yourselves can testify that I said, I am not the Christ, but am sent ahead of him. The bride belongs to the bridegroom. The friend who attends the bridegroom waits and listens for him and is full of joy when he hears the bridegroom's voice. That joy is mine, and now it is complete. He must become greater. I must become less. The one who comes from above is above all. The one who is from the earth belongs to the earth and speaks as one from the earth. The one who comes from heaven is above all. He testifies to what he has seen and heard, but no one accepts his testimony. The man who has accepted it has certified that God is truthful. For the one whom God has sent speaks the words of God. For God gives the Spirit without limit. Father loves the Son and has placed everything in his hands. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. But whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on him." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. I would have to say this is my favorite passage if I had to pick one out of the Bible. I'm glad I don't have to pick one. But for the purposes of answering your question, yes, this is my favorite. Why? Well, first of all, it is packed with essential doctrine. Notice that Nicodemus was a leader among the religious people of his day. If you had to make a list of who is close to God, who lives a good life, who knows a lot about the scriptures, Nicodemus would have been on that list. He was a leader, and he was one of the good ones. There were some that were really rotten, but he was a good one. And so when he encountered Jesus, saw the things Jesus was doing, heard the things Jesus was saying, he could tell, okay, this is way beyond anything I've known before. And I've got to know more. So he went to Jesus at night. Now, there are a couple of options there. One is that he didn't want anybody to see that he was going. You know, it's like secretly, while no one knows that I'm talking to this man, I'm going to go. The other option is he couldn't wait any longer. You know, even though it was nighttime, instead of saying, well, I'll put it off till tomorrow, it was like, no, I've got to go. I don't know what his motives for going at night were. I just know that that's mentioned in the text. He went to see Jesus at night. And what he said to Jesus is, we know you're from God. It's obvious. There is no other explanation for Jesus other than God. Jesus responds by saying, I tell you the truth, verse 3, no one can see, that is perceive, the kingdom of God unless he's born again. The ability to recognize the kingdom of God is something that comes from God. You remember when Jesus asked his disciples, who do men say that I am? And Peter, they discussed various answers, and then he said, who do you say that I am? Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the Most High God. Jesus responded by saying, Peter, I've always known you are smarter than the others. No. He said, you are blessed because you didn't get this from flesh and blood. My Father revealed this to you. The reason you see who I am, the reason you know who I am, is because God has done something special and revealed that to you. So Jesus says, I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he's born again. Nicodemus has never heard that expression before. He's never read John chapter 3. He's never heard a sermon on this. And so he says, how's that possible? Surely you're not saying a man can enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born. What do you mean born again? Jesus answered, I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. Okay, two things here. First of all, in this chapter, you see very clearly the doctrine of the Trinity. It talks about the work of the Spirit, the reality of the Spirit's work, the person of the Spirit, the volition of the Spirit, and the Son, and the Father. All three are spoken of clearly in this chapter. The word Trinity is not in the Bible. The truth of the Trinity is very clearly in the Old and New Testament from first to last. In this passage, Jesus says that salvation is a work of the Spirit, changing people's hearts, changing their perspective, giving them new birth. In theological terms, which you don't have to know, but some of you would want to, this is referring to regeneration, giving new life. That is a work of the Holy Spirit. It's one of the things the Holy Spirit does. He regenerates people. He gives them new life. And Jesus says that right here. That unless the Holy Spirit gives you the ability to see what's going on and gives you new life, new birth, unless that happens, you're not going to get it. Now, that is not something that should make anybody who is saved feel prideful. No, what it should do is humble you and cause you to realize the only reason I am saved is because God in his mercy rescued me. I was as dead as a doornail, and God rescued me. He gave me new life. He regenerated me. It is his work, and he is the one who gets the credit. That's one of the reasons I love this chapter. It makes it very, very clear that new birth is essential for entering the kingdom of God, and that new birth is a work of the Spirit of God.
Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood.
Did you know that along with being an excellent Bible teacher, Pastor Wood has authored over a dozen books? We'd like to encourage you to visit pastorwood.org for resources and books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. You can also listen to or download teachings by Pastor Wood 24/7. Please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
So, when Nicodemus is surprised, Jesus says, you must be born again. Now, I'll tell you something else about that. That speaks to the necessity of conversion in order to be a genuine Christian. There are a lot of people who think that being a Christian is simply a matter of learning this, doing this, stopping doing this, and they think that's what makes them a Christian. That's not in the Bible. A real Christian is someone who has been given new life by God, and he changes us, okay? You don't have to have a dramatic conversion like Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus. You don't have to see a blinding light and get knocked off your donkey and all that. That doesn't have to happen to you. What has to happen is you've got to come out of darkness into light. You need to have a new king in order to be part of this kingdom. You can't enter the kingdom of God and still try and run your own life, be your own boss, have it your way, do your own thing. Refuse the commands of Jesus Christ. I love what it says here at the end. Verse 36, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Do you know another word that translates that same word from the Greek? Other than believes, obeys. Same word. It's not an alternate. It is part of the meaning of believes. It's an obedient faith. Not just believing it with your head, but really receiving Him as your Lord. Whoever obeys the Son has eternal life, but whoever, it's translated here, rejects. You know what that also is translated as? Whoever does not obey the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on him. Folks, if you and I refuse God, if we don't want him to rule over us, he's still the ruler. We're going to have to appear before him one day, and at that point, there's no running. Jesus Christ is Lord. Believe it or not, he is Lord. And one day, you'll have to acknowledge it. Better to start now. So, Nicodemus, again, is just flummoxed by what Jesus says. He's not getting it. He's not understanding. And Jesus turns his attention to something that happened long ago. And that was when the people of Israel had sinned grievously against God, and God, as punishment, sent poisonous vipers into their camping area. And the people were being bitten, and they were getting sick and dying from these snake bites. Moses interceded on behalf of the people, and so God said, okay, here's what you do. You take some metal. This took a little time. People were dying meanwhile. Don't miss that. You take some metal and you make an image of a bronze serpent and put it on a pole. Okay? Maybe you've seen a medical symbol like that. That's still the symbol used today. A serpent lifted up on a pole, almost like evil crucified. And anyone who will look at that will be saved. They don't have to touch it. They don't have to compose a poem to it. They don't have to carry it across the camp. All they have to do is look and live. Now, would you say that's pretty simple? Just look and you'll be healed. And there were people who looked and they were healed and they lived. But there were other people who refused to look. No, I'm not going to do that. That's crazy. That's ridiculous. How's that going to help? No, I will not. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. If you looked, you lived. If you didn't, you died. And Jesus is saying that he is what that symbol was about. Because he became sin for us. All the evil of all the people was put on him. And he was nailed to a cross for us. And if you look to him, if you put your trust in him, you will live. You will be saved. But if you refuse him, if you despise him, if you want to go your own way and be your own boss, you will be destroyed. Look at what Jesus says. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Listen. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. We just had a big row in a Senate committee where Senator Bernie Sanders excoriated a candidate, a nominee for the assistant or deputy director of the Office of Budget Management. He wasn't questioning the man's math skills or his experience in government. He said that he could not support this man, and he didn't think anybody should, because this man had the unbelievable gall to say that Jesus is the only way of salvation, and that apart from Jesus, people stand condemned. Where would a guy get an idea like that? Jesus? Now, the man had said it on a post on a blog defending something that had happened at his alma mater, Wheaton College. But to Bernie Sanders, some staffer had found that and brought it to him and said, here you go, you can hang him with this. To Bernie Sanders, it was unconscionable to suggest that only Christians will be saved. Folks, let me tell you, there are a lot of people who find that horribly upsetting. But it's not going to be nearly as upsetting as going to hell will be. You understand? Nobody is going to go to hell because they're a Muslim, or because they're a Jew, or because they're a Baptist, or a Roman Catholic, or a Greek Orthodox, or Baha'i, or Buddhist. Nobody's going to hell for those reasons. You know why we're going to hell? Because we've sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. And we all stand condemned apart from Jesus Christ. He is the only one who can save us. It's not about race or ethnicity. It's not about religion. There are going to be a lot of people who think they're Christians who are going to hell, because they were not trusting in Jesus. They were still trying to have it their own way, and Jesus was just something they tried to bring into the mix in order to get what they wanted. But it wasn't a matter of, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. It was about trying to, okay, what do I have to do here? I need to learn, how many songs do I have to learn? Do I have to memorize scripture? Which ones? Okay, I need to get wet? How wet? I'll do what I have to do, because I want to do whatever I have to do in order to save myself. You can't save yourself. You know the only way for a person to enter into that relationship with him where he is Lord, where we're part of his kingdom, the only way for that to happen, you have to be born again. That's what Jesus said. This applies to you because you've sinned and you need a Savior. And Jesus is the only one there is. Again, I just read it, but I want to say it again. God didn't send Jesus in order to condemn us. He sent Jesus to save us. We were already condemned. If he wanted us to be condemned, he didn't need to send Jesus. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to save sinners. But in order to be saved, God has to do a work in us that causes us to recognize that we are sinners and that we need a Savior, that we cry out to him for mercy. And that, dear people, is evidence of God's salvation in your life. So, my favorite passage of Scripture, John chapter 3. The central character in this story is not Nicodemus. It's not John the Baptist. It's not the other disciples. And it's not us. Central character in this chapter is Jesus, the one who came to save. And I hope that you're trusting him and that you know him, because he rose from the dead and is alive right now. And you can know him in a personal way. Ask him to save you if you have.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program, or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's
pastorwood.org.